I have a bone to pick with you. A 2 hour and 20 minute bone to pick with you.
Oh, the movie?
Did you watch that fucking movie that you told me to watch last night?
Part of it. Didn't it win a Grammy or some shit?
It was like in Cannes or something. I think it won like a film festival award.
No, like big shit.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. I thought I had seen really bad movies, but this movie set a new fucking bar for bad, dude.
Yeah, it won a Golden Globe.
What?
And Critics' Choice for Best Actress.
It was fucking weird.
And an Academy Award for all those things. I watched only part of it, but here's the thing. I don't know that it's the movie or, like, the commentary that it's intending to give us. I watched up until the part where, as the younger version used more time, the Matrix became further and further aged.
And then?
Oh, okay. It just got bad from there. Okay, I was like, it wasn't so bad, the part that I saw, but I fell asleep. I probably only watched, like, an hour of it. We were about to embark on a conversation about being middle-aged, the world not valuing us anymore. That is the entire theme of that movie in a really fucked up way. But the real irony is that Demi Moore isn't the one that won the award. It was the younger bitch. So it's like the entirety of the movie saying that middle-aged women are undervalued. And then in our real world, the young bitch gets the award. And I thought Demi Moore was pretty good, at least from what I saw. But
she was batshit crazy in a couple parts. And if anyone wants to see Demi Moore at 62 naked for quite a while, this is the perfect movie to do it.
And younger woman, who, by the way, only had a marginally better body, and she's 40 years younger. Demi Moore, I don't know what she's doing, but she is
seriously
spout. That girl looks good. You don't have to be, you were just like, if anybody wants to see Demi Moore, like, everybody wants to see Demi Moore naked. This is the movie.
Yeah. Striptease was a movie because mm-hmm. Demi Moore was in it. Mm-hmm. Come on.
And I don't have anything against this young girl. I don't know who she is. But I do find it hilarious that we are mirroring the experience of the movie at the awards. I find that hilarious.
Yeah. In real life. Yeah.
I think that covers it. I think that's what everybody's talking about. And I don't know what they're looking for. Honestly, every time a movie wins an award, I kind of avoid it. It means it's going to be weird. And it means it's going to be, like, nonsensical, or it's going to be probably, honestly, just too smart for my simple little brain. But I usually avoid movies. But then I was talking to my situation yesterday at lunch. She was like, if you want a cultural tie-in to your, because we were talking about the podcast today. And I was like, wow, great idea. She didn't tell me it was all of that. But she also likes weird fucking movies. I don't know. There's something wrong with highly intellectual people who like these weird and nuanced and strange. I don't fucking know. I'm not that person.
Yeah. Pick it down. Well, I can't give up on shit. There were so many times in the movie where I'm like, Franny, seriously, why? Why are we still sitting here? I can't. I have to finish a movie when I started. Even if it's a movie I've seen before. I've seen Interstellar, which is a little long fucking movie, so many times from start to finish.
You're completionist.
It just drives me nuts. Yeah.
You know, I think,
not really.
Okay. Answer this question for me. If you were to like start a project, like you're painting a room, will you stop until it's done? Will you do it like half today, half tomorrow, or a third, a third, and a third?
No, I'll push to get it done. If it's possible to get it done, I'll get it done. But there are times like, look at this thing behind me.
Yep.
See the top? Still haven't put that one piece of crown up because I need to, like, wire lights and then I can put the crown up. But it's a step that I can't do. I need my electrician guy, aka my husband, to do the wiring part and then I can do the crown part. But it's like,
but if you
pick your battles, you know?
It yourself, would you have?
Yeah. And I'm super impatient. Andy thinks I've never learned patience my whole life. So once something is started,
well,
get it done.
That's a completionist. Third question. I don't even know if that's a real word. That's what I call myself because this is what I suffer from. Last question.
Okay.
If you feel like you're not going to have enough time, energy, or patience to complete it, you're not going to start it.
Don't start it. Correct.
So I'll just show you and the rest of.
That's why you haven't painted your room yet?
This is my room that I've been intending to paint. That's a box I haven't unpacked. I've been there for, I don't know, but can you see the swatches yet? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with the really dark one. That's my favorite. And then the like darker green one would be my second. And then the other one.
Yeah. So I haven't started painting because I don't believe I'll have the...
You know
what it is that actually happened? I put 3/4 of wallpaper up on that wall. And then overnight, it ended up being one of the sub-zero nights. So it was like -6 or something. And it just all fell. Like the glue just froze. And I was like... fuck you. And now I have this aversion to doing anything else because I decided what I'm going to do is I'm just going to paint. I'm going to saturate the room and then I'll use decals to give me the idea of wallpaper without having to do that shit again. So now it's kind of like principle, but really it's just like against myself. Nobody else really gives a fuck that my room isn't painted. I just can't start it because I'm pissed off about the wallpaper, but I'm really not punishing anyone but me.
Yeah.
It's my life. It's how I work. But yeah. So I like the darks. Okay. See, I need opinions. And all of our 30 listeners, give us your opinions too. Four listeners? I don't know. So I'm going to saturate the room, right? So like the doors and the baseboards and the closets and the ceiling, everything is going to be the same color. And so I was really hesitant to do the super dark one. But I think the second to darkest one would be really good for that. And then I'm going to do like golden wood, like accents everywhere else. That's the plan.
Yeah, like bohemian style.
Like my last bedroom was light green, and like everything was white, pink, and green, and whatever. So I own this one. I can paint the walls. So I have an example because this is what we do during our podcast.
Which I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, most of the people, if they're listening, they're not getting the full experience every time we start like writing on paper and showing images on our phones.
This is why I'm going to show you in person. Like I did my short haircut.
Like, no one got to see your
Why
short
not?
Haircut.
Yeah, they did. It was on the podcast.
Right, but only 4 people watched the video.
Oh,
everyone listens to it.
Oh, that's stupid. Watch the podcast.
Yeah, seriously, y'all.
Jeez. Because the funny part was how I looked in short hair. Fuck it. I don't know. All right. You get it. I give up. I found that exact color in a saturated room, and it looked so fucking good. So I was just going to copy it. I have the creativity of a gnat. So, like, I got to find what I like and then just copy it.
Is that a saying?
You know what? It is now. So attention span of a gnat is the thing.
Okay. I feel like I've heard that. Is that them running into something and then
like, oh, that's still there? I think that's what that means. I don't fucking know. If it's not, that's what it means now. But now I use it for anything that has limited capacity. I think you were supposed to be drinking during this. Is that alcohol?
Yeah. You could have drank beforehand. Drinked. Maybe I have had a little bit.
I have been drinking a bit. Does this look like vodka?
Moonshine? Because of the mason jar? Dude, I had moonshine once.
Did it get you fucked up, though?
No, I think I probably threw up immediately.
Sounds like a good time. You ever wanted to do, like, ayahuasca or shit like that? Expand your mind.
Sorry, is that a place?
No.
Oh, is that the thing
it's
do
like
in
a
the
root
tent?
And you throw up and it's existential and you never heard of this?
I think I've seen it in
a
movie.
Oh my God. So they talked about
like
it.
Seen
well,
it.
I think Chelsea Handler talked about it on her show many years ago. Celebrities do it and now people in Denver do it because we're just crunchy and we do all that shit. And so I guess it's like a tea or like a drink that they make out of the ayahuasca root. And it's supposed to give you this super, like, existential experience and people, like, come back changed. And, like, a side effect is almost always vomiting. So, like, you're sitting in a tent with multiple people with buckets behind you because it's an expectation that you're all just going to throw up after this experience. And if there's anything I hate, it's vomiting. Like, I try to prevent it at all costs. Even when you're super drunk and you know throwing up is like the only option, I try to avoid it. I don't know why. Most people are just like, let's just get this done. I hate it. So like this experience I want to have, I want to be the person who can like not throw up, which means I will be the person that throws up the most.
Also, if you're in a like a group of people, it's going to be like a domino effect of fucking puking.
I think that.
You know, I can't be around somebody that's puking.
I think it's an expectation anyway. There are literal buckets in the room. Like, people are going to throw up. But I'm wondering if whatever this thing is doing to me, will I care less about the throw up because I'm meeting God? You know what I mean? I don't know if meeting God is on the agenda. But
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
is it worth it?
Like, I will throw up to meet God. I've got questions.
I would throw up I'm one of those people that if I feel bad and I know throwing up is going to make me feel better, I can do that. I'll make it happen.
I do too now. Yeah. But as a kid, I was stubborn. Swallow. I would watch TV. Never work. Never fucking worked. Ever.
I can tell when I, like, my spit will change. Like, oh, this means I'm going to throw up. Something happened. It's not just watering, though. It's like it feels different or something. Maybe it is just watering.
You got to swallow it. It's weird. It's like taking a sip of water. Yeah, that does mean you're going to vomit. Usually.
Yeah.
Usually. Although it has happened to me. And I've not thrown up. For some reason, that's like a point of pride, as you can tell by how I said that. I don't know why. Anyway, we're not supposed to be talking about vomiting or ayahuasca today, are we?
Oh, so to answer your question,
I'd
try it.
Okay, what if it wasn't in the United States?
I know.
Yeah, I don't think it's legal here. It's definitely legal. Well, maybe it is, though. I don't know. Hang on.
Please hold. Google will not. I mean, I doubt it's legal, but that's not a question of whether or not it's here. You're saying where they do it, it is legal.
It's not
there.
Like FDA approved. Like, it's not like you're going to go to a...
This is more on the level of, like, maybe shrooms. Like, a natural something that gives you an existential experience. That's my guess, anyway.
But it's not legal because it's stupid that it's not legal. But I don't know. Hang on. Looks like there might be more.
If anyone out there, if one of our dozen listeners has a hookup.
Okay, so Costa Rica.
I'll go there.
Yeah. All right.
Sure.
It says Colorado. Used for centuries by indigenous people in the Amazon, ayahuasca ceremonies are guided by experienced shamans and healers who ensure you're safe. It does say Colorado has a retreat.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Ayahuasca so this is the list. Costa Rica, Mexico, or Portugal, another Costa Rica, Colorado, Castle Rock. It's a USA retreat. It's facilitated by spiritual leaders, Abuelo. I'm not gonna advertise for you to all of our listeners.
You gotta pay for that, bitch.
Just email us, Francis.Lafferty.
We will promote anyone.
Elon Musk.
Do you need some advertisement these days?
Yeah.
He does.
I won't help him, though. There's one in Florida. Okay, so I guess it is. We can do this shit and then go to Disney.
Yeah, let's do it. It's the happiest place on Earth.
Are you okay
with
Disney? You want to go to Disney? Oh, man. Are you one of those people?
Oh, no.
You know who I'm about to say.
Absolute insanity, dude. People that like Disney that much, there's some childhood trauma. Something has happened that you have not worked through or something. I don't know.
And if it is related to trauma, then great. That's actually a very cheerful manifestation of what that could have looked like. The people that we're talking about. That wasn't the case.
Mm-mm. Just weird. I don't get it. That whole person confuses the shit out of me, though. So it doesn't end or begin with Disney obsession.
Now I don't even know if we're talking about the same person.
Oh. Who are you talking about?
You don't remember the excitement that just passes in Harry Potter land. And I was like.
I do remember Harry Potter.
I was like, the beer that's not actually fucking beer. Whatever the hell that sweet butter beer.
It's not even alcoholic.
And back then, you fucking dared to make something like that dry? Are you kidding me? Listen to me. If I had a partner that loved Disney, I don't know if we would be compatible, but hey, say it happened. I might go as a sacrifice to the person that I've chosen to love, but you better let me get shit-faced. That's not even fair. Listen, I remember I was like 8 on It's a Small World. Is that even a thing anymore? Is that even whatever?
I think so.
I remember being 8 and being like, even I know that some of these people don't get along. What the? Look at the Native Americans and the English and the Chinese and the Japanese. We are not all one. It is not a small world. It is a large, very gross world. And that is why I hate Disney.
Freaking Disney.
Oh my God.
You're so funny.
Why, as an adult, do you want to be fed lies? We make them believe the world is a certain way, and then we end up with an entire generation who thinks we should hold their hands. Buckle up, Buttercup. You're about to know what oppression feels like.
So,
cheers.
We should drink all the
Rude
time.
Rude Awakening.
This is so much better. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We should drink. I don't think we've mentioned that we're drinking today.
So today, we have decided that we're going to have a very personal and probably a really hard conversation for us in some places, but also probably pretty funny. Maybe we should have started the conversation and then started drinking, but we didn't do that. So now we're in for a ride. We decided that to talk about this topic, we had to be intoxicated to not take it too seriously. So if you're just tuning in, grab a beer.
And it goes a little in with our theme because we are, I don't know, what, mid-30s? Are you mid-30s?
Baby. No.
All right, so late 30s, early 40s, and child-free. Yep. We're just child-free. Yeah. And we can be doing a podcast, drinking on a Sunday.
And at the ripe old age of so close to kissing 40, I am okay with that decision so far, right? I'm not sure that in your 30s and 40s, that's when you're like really reaping the benefits of having had kids. And I think they know that. Oh, see, this is going to sound so judgy. It's like important to impose this, I can't believe you're not doing this work kind of thing on people who don't have kids. I already knew I wasn't healthy enough. It's cool. You don't have to pass your judgment on. We're going to get old. And Frances and I are going to live in homes connected by a tunnel. She just sent me that. Do you have that picture?
I think so.
So it's okay. Like, you don't have to feel like you need to throw shade at people who don't have kids. Yeah, this is our future house.
This is one of our houses, and this is one of our houses. And we...
That middle part is where our caretakers are doing
labs.
Yes.
And
we have enough money at that point to have caretakers.
Thanks to not having kids, too.
That's what I'm saying. It's a trade-off.
It's weird. People will say shit like, what are you going to do when you're older? Who's going to take care of you when you're older? And I'm like, I think it's kind of messed up that people believe having kids is...
Their retirement plan.
Yeah. Your retirement plan? Your caretaker when you're old? Like, that's everyone's expectation of their children?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a paying you back kind of thing. I wiped your ass, you wiped mine. But I never wiped anybody's ass, and so I'll never expect anybody to wipe mine. Except a paid CAID worker, if that becomes necessary. Or you, if you have the use of your hands and I use... It's just, that's your role.
I'm rethinking the house now.
Chances are slim. You are far older than me, so I'll probably be wiping your ass. That's fine.
That's true. Get ready.
That age gap really closes, doesn't it? No.
It does.
I was 19 and you were 24. And I couldn't even drink yet, but I was the more responsible one. That was fun. That has completely changed now. Completely.
Me being
the responsible one now. Yeah. Or I was the responsible one now, 25 years later, or whatever it is, 20 years later.
Yeah. And those were supposed to be our fun times, right? Your early 20s. I don't even remember a time that you couldn't drink and
Me?
Go
oh,
out.
Oh, no,
though.
I had a fake ID my whole life, yeah.
I don't think I ever had a fake ID. There was a bar behind the Best Buy that I worked at when I was like 19 and 20, and I always went there. We were regulars, but they never once asked for my ID, and I just went there for years. And then when I actually did turn 21, we celebrated my birthday there, and someone made the comment, like, finally 21, and they were like, what? Hey, you never asked, dude. I wasn't going to tell.
Did you go back after that?
Yeah. Well, now I'm legal. What's
was
the problem
Florida?
Now?
Oh.
No, it was North Carolina.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was literally right behind the store. You could just walk across the street and you're at the bar. And it was great.
So really, you just skirted through. We're out there hustling.
Hustling?
We are scraping by. We are putting together pieces of IDs that we find in garbage cans. It was rough out here. Trying to get alcohol, okay? Nakia Walmack, I don't know who you are, girl, but thank you for having lost your ID in, God, what year was that? 1999? I don't know. No, 2000 and 2000. Thank you. You were an Aquarius.
You probably know everything
I don't
about
remember
that ID.
Anymore. She really looked like me, but she made me so much older. It wasn't like I was 18 and the ID was 22. She was like 26. And I was like 18. So I had to always not, I didn't know how to dress anyway. And I was trying to be straight. I don't know what I was doing, trying to look cute. I didn't look my age. I always looked older. I would wear like sweaters to club. Like I didn't know I was gay. I knew I didn't want to wear what my friends were wearing because that shit was, I don't know. No, thank you. And those shoes hurt.
I've never been a dressy person. Not my thing.
Have you ever been to clubs?
Yes.
How did you get into those before you were 21?
In North Carolina, we actually had a couple clubs that were 18 and up in there.
Okay.
They were okay. I do remember using somebody else's ID once.
That's the best kind of fake ID because it's real. They scan it. They can shine their lights in it. They can do whatever the fuck they want. It's a real ID. They just have to believe you're that person.
And they were only a couple years older than me, so it was perfect. Gosh, I don't know. I remember going to some clubs in my early 20s. Back when I, like, used to be able to deal with them. I can't fucking deal with a club nowadays.
I have no idea what the obsession was, though. There was one. I remember, and I shared it. I'm not saying they were obsessed. Like, I was, too. My friend group at the time was just obsessed with getting into clubs. And not only will I not pay to get in there, you would have to pay me to go in there. That looks fucking awful. People sweaty on my body. 45 minutes until I can get a drink. And then when you do get the drink, it's in a plastic cup that just crinkles when you hold it because it's so fucking weak. And then there's like a quarter of an ounce of alcohol. I guess it was the only place as a teenager that we could just like feel up on boys and it'd be okay. I don't know. We were Catholic schoolgirls. We didn't have parents that were letting us do anything else. And I like to dance. That's the fucked up part. And now I want to say, are there adult clubs? Like, what? Remember, like, my mother used to tell me,
oh, it's a bar for our folks.
That's what I'm looking for now?
Yeah. Short lines, music, but not too loud, not super packed.
Yep.
Nobody throws up on your back while you're on the dance floor.
You remember that?
Dude, I felt so bad for her.
Oh, my God.
What kind of person, by the way, is throwing up on the dance floor and they go onto a person? Yeah. I don't think it was that packed. She was doing a pass out and puke.
No, I think she was like, oh, like she was bending over to, if she had gotten all the way over, it wouldn't have gone all over Dwayne's back. But she started throwing up here.
Oh, right.
I think that's how that happened. I watched it in slow-mo.
And Dwayne just goes,
yeah,
freezes. I think somebody just threw up on my poor girl.
I would die. I would have died then. I would die more now. Oh, Dwayne, that was fucked up.
I don't know how this became the puke episode, but I once threw up on the table. It was like one of those TGIF Fridays kind of places where you go, there's a bunch of tables, but really everyone in like their mid-20s is there hanging out and drinking. And it was my going away party. I was moving from North Carolina back home to Florida. And all night, everybody shot. And my mom flew to North Carolina to drive back with me. So she's there with me. We're saying bye to all my friends. At some point, I'm like, I gotta puke, man. It's inevitable. I go to the bathroom. I try my fucking damnedest. Doesn't work. So I'm like, all right, I think I'm clear. I think I'm good. Go back out to the table. And I'm like, all right, mom, let's go. Let's get the check. All over the fucking table. My mom's just like, it's okay, honey. She takes me outside. There's a bench by the front door. I'm sitting there and I just start yakking in this like tree shrub thing that's next to me. She goes inside, pays the tab, drives me home. I'm like, this is the worst. I must have been, I'd say probably 22
what were the
at
shots
the time.
Of?
No idea. No idea. Probably Jaeger. We all fucking drank so much Jaeger at the time. I don't think I could even drink it today. We were either drinking Jaeger or tequila. That's pretty much all we ever drank. And
this was when you were how old?
22.
Okay. Because you didn't stop drinking Jaeger. Do you remember that fucking party? What was it?
That was my 30th birthday. Yeah. What did you guys do? I heard that you guys went out to get more Jaeger and you hit a curb or you went over a bumper. I don't know what happened. Did you kill somebody that night?
No.
And I don't know about it.
What did you do? Nothing I would say on a podcast. No, it wasn't. I mean, no one was harmed in the making of that drunken driving story. If you were 30, whatever. Okay, so I was in my 20s and I was dating someone new, and this was like her first introduction to my friend group or whatever. There was so much Jaeger. I don't know that I've ever had it before that.
No, I don't
really.
Or it's just not something I did.
Oh, and then pixie sticks. Okay.
Yeah, we could leave that part of the story out.
We are not leaving that part of the story out. Okay. All right. So it's like half I'm trying to like have fun, but I'm nervous, and I like
impress the new
girl. I'm nervous. These are my friends. Try to look thin in the outfit I put. Like all the whatever, right? All the stupid shit that happens when you're starting to date.
It was an 80s themed party too.
Okay, so I was even more uncomfortable. So I just completely indulged this party's vibe. Pour Jaeger down your throat. That was like the whole vibe of this fucking party. I don't know why. We never partied like that before or since, but we were just so shit-faced. And then we ran out of Jaeger. We weren't going to have this party end. That wasn't a thing. And Frances, we've talked about her living in a rural area, which means, and credit, a liquor store actually was one of the things that was close, right? I don't even know. How many miles? Maybe five?
I don't know. Probably like 6 to 8 minutes away.
Great. Great. So I'm like, I could definitely get to the liquor store and get more Jaeger, and I'll be a fucking hero to everyone because I don't want to stop. And
party.
Yeah, it definitely had that vibe, right? So we make it to the liquor store. No problems. Get back to the parking lot, get in the car, and I was convinced that there was no parking cement thing. I was convinced. I think this is what happened. Because I think about this a little often and chuckle at myself. This is an ongoing theme in my life. So in some parking lots, there's like the cement things for like the first few. And then the rest of them don't have those cement things. I don't remember being so drunk that I would inadvertently just ram through a parking stopper or whatever. What the fuck is that called?
Parking bumper?
Sure. Okay, we'll go with parking bumper. I think what I did was I looked and there wasn't one over here. And so I thought, oh yeah, cool. I'm in my manual Jetta that's already low to the ground. So I plow right. And then by the time I realized it, because it's manual, it had already flipped into. I just kept going. And I did that rather quickly because it was embarrassing. I don't remember if there was a lot of scraping and stuff. I can phone a friend and see if there was scraping.
I thought Danny was with you.
No.
Your date was with you?
Yes.
So did you impress her?
I think I failed.
But did she absolutely love it? I could see her just dying laughing, though. It would have been fun for her.
We were so hammered. Because even then, I don't think I would have gotten in the car had I known I was as drunk as I was. But it was just one of those things. And maybe that's just Jaeger specific. But even thinking back, I remember, whoa, it's not one of those nights that I should have been drinking at all. So I didn't want to drive home because I lived fucking, I don't even know how many miles from you, 30 probably or more.
Everyone lived at least.
And I don't know why I didn't just sleep at your place. You probably, because it was like in construction. You didn't have any of the rooms done, I don't think. So we went home with Danny and we slept in his guest room. Woke up the next morning and went, what the fuck? And then I think remembered did I come home and tell you the story? Or I feel like back then I would have been so embarrassed.
Danny,
that I would have been, I talked about it.
Maybe you or somebody told Danny, because I think Danny told me about it. But even from him, it wasn't super clear.
Well, so we get home and the Jaeger continues to flow. I told you or didn't tell you. I don't remember. I'm trying to call in a witness.
Phone a witness?
Trying to phone a friend for a witness. Shit, what was I going to say? Oh, so before we went home with Danny, right? We come home, you have the Jaeger, we're doing all this. Then it felt like a good idea. What else are we going to ingest? What else can amp this party?
It's so stupid.
Yeah. In the absence of real cocaine, the kids, I think, left some pixie sticks.
Two tubes of sugar. I had grape.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. How long did that take to get out of your nasal passage?
It sticks with you a minute. So, and then you start just spitting color sugar for a long time.
Frances decides to just make a line of pixie.
Oh my God.
Pixie sugar.
No, I think the kids were still here.
What? Why?
Because I think my oldest niece has brought up the pixie stick thing.
Well, I'm sure she's heard that story.
We went to like Waffle House or something after one night, and I like snorted sugar and then did a shot of maple syrup. Just the dumbest. It's like I was the party version of Buddy the Elf. What the fuck was wrong with me?
What was the goal? I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think you just said you wanted cocaine and then did that, which is funny because we didn't do cocaine.
Sugar right to the brain is the same, right?
We never did that. Never.
Never. Ever.
You know, I did not know that Danny would be such a recurring theme in this.
I know. Me either.
And that keeps happening.
I mean, he was.
No, he was. Totally.
He was a huge part of our lives at the time.
In the podcast, I just didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Poor Danny.
I know.
I think he's been gone a while. It must have been around 2012 to 2014, somewhere in there.
10 to 12 years at this point. R.I.P., buddy.
Yeah. Let's not.
Wow.
I feel gypped.
I can't use that word. Sorry.
Ooh, what does gypped mean?
Huh?
What does it mean? Is it like one of those like take the cake?
Short for gypsy. So what you're saying is like if you gypped someone, you're acting like a gypsy, and that's actually a culture and derogatory term.
Oh, gotcha.
So yeah, they don't call themselves gypsies, and I don't think that they like to be called thieves, but or taking something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Some of those things I just don't even know. A lot of it, I think people probably don't even know. Origins of shit to even know if it's offensive.
Truly. And they come up and you just don't even know until you just think a little bit harder. It's just the natural part of our nomenclature. Yes. Like, totally. And it keeps happening.
Yeah.
And then I get corrected by younger people, which I love. And I'm like, okay, tell me. Like, what was that? So I'm reading a book. This ever makes it to my work. You know who you are making me read this book. It's called The Coddling of the American Mind. She didn't make me read this book. I offered completely on my own. And now, just because I regret it, I want to blame someone. It's actually a very well-written book and very well-researched in all the things. The core of it really is, like, the sensitivities that we keep applying to words. I know. See your face? This is how, okay, sensitivity. And the subsequent adjustments we make to accommodate those things are actually doing the opposite of what these people want that their call-out culture is actually providing. Because a lot more of our problems would be solved if we could have conversations with humans that are able to critically think. And if we keep coddling their mind to never be uncomfortable, then we are basically removing the potential for critical thinking because they're never being introduced to anything but what they're comfortable hearing. And it went through like, it used to be really hard to get a trauma diagnosis because it had to be something, and that's true, right? And that's evolved over time in mental health where anything can be a trauma now. And I'm a therapist, right? I know the power of language. I understand the power of language, and I do adjust my language for people. I'm always willing to. But what they were talking about was the expectation that you're never uncomfortable. Nobody in my presence will use words or phrases or say things that I don't like. I have the right to claim trauma or whatever to stop your behavior from making me feel uncomfortable. Instead of saying, I disagree because, right, it's really, I'm hurt now and you're the perpetrator and now you have to be punished. And it really ran through the dangers of that. While it's always well-intended, it's not allowing for the challenge in the brains of young people to be able to understand why they believe something they believe or what the opposing whatever is. I thought that tied in pretty well to our conversation in the previous podcast. But even when they're reading it and they're laying out these arguments, I'm still getting the, because a lot of it is very, not everybody should get a trophy. Right, like that sentiment like hits there and I'm just like, I see your arguments and I can understand them. I think it's progress to think about what you're saying because then that's building empathy. Is empathy or critical thinking more important? Can we find a balance is my question. But so the book, I don't know why that came up for some reason, but I'm having that experience actively.
So I think it helps also learn how to handle those kinds of situations. If you're never in a situation where you're challenged, you don't know how to react or how to interact with people when you're in an uncomfortable situation or someone has said something that does offend you, just not being able to handle those or have those things in person, and the added of you know how to handle them in like social media, which is completely opposite from interacting with people. I was just talking with Andy yesterday about this generation that is going through
oppression for the first time.
Our conversation was like them going through childhood and adolescence with social media, and they're not learning how to interact with people. They're following influencers, like shit that they can never live up to. Like, we've already seen insane stats of mental health issues with younger girls. Even boys, just, or anyone really, like, just imagine that you're a teenager and you have porn at the tip of your hand, like, all day, every day. How does that set you up for a future relationship with a person? How does that change your expectation of being intimate with people?
And you're hitting on a ton of points. Yes.
Yeah.
We could talk, or are we going here? It's a whole other episode, but let's do this.
Yeah. We'll get to IVF later. Fuck it. We're drunk. Let's do this.
We can do this every week. This is great. Go ahead.
Andy said he would prefer these kind of episodes. And I was like, wait, what? He goes, honestly, I listen to podcasts to zone out. I'm at work. I'm already stressed. You know, I don't want to think about like being a better person or fucking advancing society. I just want to like some bullshit time with my friends, you know, like just some chill time. And not have to really think about anything. Funny. I was like, well, apparently Pam thinks the same thing. And Pam is like
the audience for it.
I assumed that what we were doing would be like right up Pam's alley. But so I asked him, you would rather just hear people like talk about just bullshit? He said, yeah. I said, well, wouldn't you have to like know those people to even care about it? And he goes, no, no.
That's what I don't. And Pam and I had this whole dialogue last night about when you hear friends get to the point of laughing to where you're gasping or heaving or like wheezing, if I see that, I will be wheezing. I know that feeling and I love that belly laugh. I can't breathe. So I understand. Like today, we accidentally went into your 30th party, which brought in another friend for all of our 30 people watching. And that girl we were talking about, someone that I was trying to impress, is now a really good friend of ours for 20 plus years. And she has a business called Kachi, K-A-Q-C-H-I. Look it up. And she's at a festival in Jacksonville right now, so it's too loud for her to jump on with us. She was gonna. And that could have made this interesting. My only point is, I think that kind of synergy and like natural evolution of conversation is always interesting. That's just how my brain works.
I do think laughter is contagious. Mm-hmm. When I'm editing our podcast and shit, I'll be sitting on the couch and all of a sudden I'm just dying laughing. And I was there for it.
There is the whole you had to be there aspect of comedy.
I keep unplugging my headphones. I'm such a dunce. I need another beer. Hopefully this is going to be graceful. Yeah.
You always are, sweetheart.
Well, that's another thing. I won't be able to get through a 3-hour drinking podcast without a bunch of bathroom breaks. It's Allagash White. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite beers from Portland, Maine. Mm-hmm. And Andy was super nice. He saw him at Publix the other day and he was like, I brought you your favorite beer.
That's nice. That's so nice. Mm-hmm. I always forget the beer that is only here that you love. I always look like when I'm in stores and shit. And it's not actually in a lot of places, that beer.
I was surprised that it was in Colorado at all. And I had to find it through an app. So it's Russian River.
Yeah.
That's the brewery. And you could probably get anything from Russian River. But my favorite is Blind Pig.
Yes. And the other one, what was Andy's favorite? That's the one I can never fucking remember.
Pliny the Elder. That's his favorite. Every now and then, they'll do a special release for Pliny the Younger. But Pliny the Elder, that's his favorite. But Russian River is the brewery, and it's in California.
Does that do it for you still?
No, you look like a gnome. Like a little garden gnome.
Yes, thank you. I know what a gnome is.
What are we going to talk about
now?
Wait,
we were headed somewhere.
Like how social media is fucking up kids?
Yeah. But like, you're saying that it's going to fuck them up because they're not dealing with real humans. Like, they don't know how to navigate interactions,
one of the ways,
right? Well, what? Yeah, okay. What was the other way? I didn't catch another point. I don't want to make it if you made another one. Sorry.
The other point is, like, them having so much at, like, their fingertips. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, this access. Reward thing. So it's like a overdose of dopamine all the time at such a young age that your real life isn't going to mount up to that,
right.
You know?
Unless your real life becomes about that. And that's exactly what's happening. And that's the part that I think is the most dangerous. I completely agree. Having access to all that kind of whatever media, all the things, the not necessarily having to even work for something, everything being at your fingertips. I agree. I think the most dangerous part is we don't know how to stand on our own, like without approval. Our existence now is the approval of others. I know people teach your kids self-esteem, and what I'm saying is that becomes almost impossible, right? Because in order to be part of the world at that point, you have to engage in what the world is. And the world is one big popularity contest with everything at your fingertips. So it took me till now to even understand a sense of self. And we didn't have half this shit. I don't think anybody is going to actually get to a place of truly unearthing some of the shit that we have to do to live a really constructive life. I'm really scared of what that looks like for this generation. And you're being protected from things that hurt you.
The book that you were talking about, is it saying like the best way to do it is to actually coddle the mind, or just that that's what we're doing today and it's
not good?
It's
what we're doing and it's dangerous. The whole frame of the book is the university system. So what they're saying is over time, the university system has created fewer and fewer spaces of challenge and critical thinking and far more of coddling. This speaker is going to come, but he has a very different viewpoint from the majority of the students. We're going to cancel him because people listening to him, it might be traumatic. That's an example, like, of the evolution of university, where university used to be, no, get up and debate that person or do whatever. It was a more critical thinking, and it was when I was there, but probably not as much as the generation before me. And so what they're saying is, like, the evolution of coddling kids to make them feel safe when there really is no significant statistical data that says they're more unsafe today than before. It's our obsession with safety that is creating the coddled minds. And technically and statistically, they're not actually in any more danger than they ever were in previous generations. We are just hyper-focused on preserving their innocence. Not even innocence, like preserving their, like, safety, protect them from that when the actual problem is that they don't experience that and don't ever expect to experience that. Mm-hmm. So I can't disagree with the concepts. I really can't. And it's hard for me. And I think what really fucked me on this is that the frame is the university system. The thread is cognitive behavioral therapy or CBT, which is all of us are trained in that. I understand what he's also saying is happening. And so it's hard not to go along and be like, yeah, that makes sense. And another point in his book was there has been a shift from believing facts to believing feelings. My feelings don't lie. Lean into your intuition. Follow your heart. We are teaching our kids that feelings are always accurate. And we know as clinicians and humans, that's not the case, right? A lot of times, emotions are what misguide us. So the more and more we allow for this evolution of leaning on emotion to dictate behavior or who gets canceled or whatever, we are losing facts in the way that we are making decisions for ourselves. Always believing your emotions is another one of the things that this is why this generation is going to struggle. It's interesting. It is. I was definitely in college when this evolution started to happen, or like being shown like Michael Moore movies in sociology class. And I wouldn't agree with them conceptually, but I wouldn't exactly say that's the source of information you should be using to teach. I enjoyed it because it resonated and reaffirmed everything I already believed. So I enjoyed that.
My sister and mom were visiting recently, so we had lots of conversations just because we're completely different spectrum in most things, politics, religion, how to raise children, I mean, just everything. My sister and I are like yin and yang, dude. We're just polar opposites. And every time we have conversations, she always uses her feeling. All you're doing is telling me how you feel about something. You're not giving me any points as to why I should think differently. Oh, I don't even know what generation she is. I think 67, but I could be wrong on that.
So she's Gen X. So are you.
No, I'm a millennial.
You are?
We had this conversation last time. I used to think I was X, like when it was a popular show on VH1. I'm on the cusp. Either
I am
way.
Too.
The conversation of corporal punishment came up and her believing that schools should be able to like paddle children. The whole thing came up because my sister, I think my sister just has this idea that, gosh, it's hard to explain because I grew up in Texas and the culture of your neighbors or your friends and, you know, every kid is like part of the community and it's like a thing. And even going to my grandma's house, I had 5 uncles and an aunt and all of these cousins and shit. And if I like fucking around and my uncle was the closest person to me, that's who was spanking my ass. It was just part of the thing. It wasn't like, oh, hey, I'm going to go tell you, your parents what you just did. Part of our family culture was he who sees it deals it or something. I don't fucking know. But we just didn't fuck around as kids. It's like you had 30 eyes on you instead of just your parents.
Fuck around and find out culture.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily think that that was a bad thing. But I don't think that teachers, especially teachers, should be responsible for disciplining children. One, I don't even think that that's something that teachers need to add on to their whole fucking thing. Dude, you're barely even getting paid. Just do your thing. Thank you for being a teacher and not being respected or paid for doing the job. Thank you. But anyway, I don't think that they need that added pressure. I don't think it's something that would ever even work. Like, how are all those parents ever even going to agree on a set of punishment and it's a scale? Like, okay, this one, what? We get a ruler to the hand and this one, we're getting like 5 paddles on the ass. Like, no one would agree to as a majority. Back in the time when that shit was allowed, it's not like people had a voice like, oh, I don't want to discipline my child that way. That's just what happened in school and fucking no one had a say in it. Nowadays, I would imagine that would be a different conversation.
I cannot imagine that ever being a thing. Can you imagine being a parent in a school's, hey, we are going to change policy and reserve the right to paddle your kite? No, that's never going to happen. But the arguments that you're making to contradict your sister, I think you are applying too much logic. This is just absurd. Like, it's an absurd thought. Okay, I don't believe in corporal punishment at all. I don't think there's a need for it. The mental health community has gone that way. It's not necessary for how brains develop and how they work. That's a different episode. But culturally, fine. We maintain it for this, that, or whatever reason. If you are hitting a child, it needs to be such a controlled process, meaning you're not angry. He understands what's happening. This is not to relieve you. This is actually correcting a behavior, right? Like, none of those things are true. Because what this is an emotional reaction to a child who cannot process things the same way that you can, but you're expecting them to. There's no psychological logic whatsoever.
No, that's the whole point, because everything you just said is not emotion-based. And that's what it's like having conversations with the majority of the people in my family. It's just emotion.
So my YouTube is filled with Fox News,
and I don't really care. I can watch that shit and just go all day.
What do you do? That was cuter.
Okay, good.
First one was a little piggy.
They're in a bubble. They're in their fucking echo chamber. Like you said, no critical thinking skills.
Stick with me. I would almost prefer that you are this ignorant because you're dumb as shit and don't have the capacity to actually understand, let alone what empathy is, let alone actually having any and applying it to anything, right? It takes some intellectual and emotional intelligence. So you're going to have headlines so you can be relevant in whatever conversation. That makes sense. to be intelligent enough to have done the work, read the news, asked for opposing opinions, read a book that wasn't written by you know who. If you have the capacity to do that, like you can actually understand how to learn and critically see the that's the thing. It's the critical thinking. That's almost worse because you chose not to.
How did we get here? I thought we were having fun today.
All right. We're moving right past. Moving right past.
We weren't supposed to talk about politics today.
We shan't. Where are we going?
I feel like we should find a way to do like a We're Out in Austin episode.
Okay.
I think that this would be a really cool thing to do. I won't have to be in a beanie the whole time.
Oh my God, you guys might actually see Christina's head. She's a blonde.
I not wash my hair every day.
Oh, so we went to this show that I told you about. It's kind of like a circus.
Oh, yeah.
Circulus, whatever thing. It's a really good show. Like, they did all kinds of acrobatic stuff.
Cool. Like, it was actually.
The people were just funny.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was a little dirty, you know?
Is it called Absinthe? Yep. Or did somebody, like, knock it off?
No, it's called Mr. Swindle's Pectilarium. Something like that. Like, it's dirty. Saying that wrong. It was funny because when we got there, Annie goes, these are our seats. No. Front row. It's a little dangerous to be front row in a show like this. And he was right. Everybody pretty much got a take.
Yeah,
so,
he got motorboated. In those kind of shows. If you want involvement, you go to the first.
Yeah.
I will never want involvement. Yeah. Just never.
No, Andy didn't either. I think he was, he was like, I would say Andy's very uncomfortable in situations.
Yeah, I said,
like
it seems
so
like the time
funny.
That would be really uncomfortable. And so am I.
Yeah.
So, but I probably would. I don't know. As an experience, but I wouldn't be comfortable. I'd be like, oh, fuck. What are they going to ask me to do? Kind of thing. I've heard them make people sing and shit. I will pretend like I am mute. I told Tristy that we were talking about her. Nothing bad. So I said, any chance you can call to have a surprise appearance on the podcast? It'll be funny. She goes, oh, my God, stop. I'm slammed. And it's so loud. I said, okay, fine. But I haven't used your name, but we are definitely talking about you. She laughed and said, stop it. Could only imagine what that shit could be. I was listening to your last episode last night, too. I still have to finish. You girls are killing it. And I can't wait until you're famous. Are you going to Jenny the podcast and call me Tristy? Do you know what that means?
What does that mean?
Oh, gay reference.
Jenny the podcast and call me Tristy?
Yeah, so she's using the word Jenny as a verb. So Jennying the podcast would be, okay.
There was a podcaster named Jenny that did a thing? No.
Damn it. So it's an L word reference. In the L word, there was a character, you probably remember her, Jenny.
So annoying.
Raw. Yes, exactly. That is what.
Really didn't like her.
Everybody in the community feels that way. I don't think I've ever met anyone ever that was like, Jenny is my favorite character. No, it is always Bet, unless they like funny people, then it's Alice. It just is. Anyway, so Jenny is that really fucking annoying character that just, she was straight at first, and then she got involved with the chick that owned the restaurant was her kind of coming out tryst. And that was hot.
Okay.
I didn't hate Jenny during those episodes because I loved the person she was having an affair with. But anyway, and so she gets famous, right? She finally writes a manuscript to make a movie, and it's based on the entire story of the L word that we've been watching. So it was kind of like a nostalgic way to, I think, end the whatever, which could have been effective, but it was just the way they ended the show was so fucking stupid. But so Jenny wrote this and the story was about all the other characters, right? Her pseudonyms were just so close to their actual name.
She changed like the first
letter. Yeah, it's Bev was Bet and Nina was Tina. It just wasn't. This wasn't a pseudonym, and everybody knew what the fuck she was saying. She told all their dirty laundry, and that was the whole, like, precipice. That was the whole frame of the last season was, like, everybody hated her because of how she affected their life through this process of writing about them and whatever. Anyway, and then she ended up dying, and then it was a who's who, and then it ended, which is who did it. It was just so stupid.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay, I definitely didn't watch
the whole show. So what she is saying is, in this podcast, so I'm not supposed to say her name, but it rhymes with
Tristy.
It rhymes with Tristy.
That's so hard. What could it be? Risty?
Misty.
No. Misty? Oh, actually, it could be Misty.
So now everybody knows it's not. So if it's not Misty, it's not Tristy. Anyway, I doubt very much she won't end up on here, but
that's
like,
funny.
She's going to be just beside herself to know how much she showed up in this fucking episode.
Well, you also said she's the owner of Kachi.
I know.
So I think people can probably just Google that.
Hey, I think she would probably prefer that 30 more people learn about her business. If you just get one bracelet out of that, man, or wear that crossbody strap. Hot. We have one.
They're cute.
This is a Kachi bracelet.
Oh, it is.
I have a lot of them. And I have two bags that are really cute. I really hope we're famous so that I can, like, help her business. That would be cool.
Aww, yeah. Look at you.
Well, they're killing it, dude.
Hoping you're famous for someone else. I know. Yeah, they're going to be famous before
I know.
We are.
Maybe
they.
Can we get a podcast postcard in each of yours?
Just flip it in all the bags.
Yeah, just like a QR code on the back. Tune in.
That's great.
We can have Kachi on. I don't know who would be helping more, but let's do it.
Hit
three.
Let's do that.
Okay,
bye. We'll be right back.